Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson and Ray Pritchard. And now we're joined by Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Hey, everybody.
Can't hear you.
I'll yell. Hello, okay. Everybody.
Hello. So, you doing all right, Steve?
Yeah, I think I'm doing well.
Did you get that Paisley shirt from China?
I'd have to look.
I'm trying to segue.
I'd have to look. It's interesting. You know, I talked every other week I have an interview with Todd Nettleton, who is the guy with Voice of the Martyrs. He's their media person, does their radio show. And we were talking about the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Churches coming up. And he had an idea for somebody, if they want to pray, when you pull a shirt out of your, or some clothes out of your closet, look at where it was made. It might have been made in China. It might have been made in Vietnam. But wherever it was made, that's the country that you should pray for that day. That was a great idea.
Yeah, if you can pronounce it.
God, you know the name of that country.
That's right.
I have looked at clothing items and going, I can't even pronounce this place.
Exactly.
But anyway, yeah, that's a good idea. All right, Steve, what's your first story?
Well, our president is coming back, if he's not already back, from an extended trip abroad where he visited Japan, and he met with Prime Minister Xi of China.
And in Japan?
No, the meeting was not. Was in, where was it, Fred?
South Korea.
That's right, in a town in South Korea.
So the president did not go to Beijing?
He did not go to Beijing. Okay. Beijing came to the president.
President Trump did announce he is going to go to China in the spring.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been some significant developments between our two countries. So he announced two things yesterday. One was a trade deal with China in which we are going to be sending them soybeans and some other goods that have been that they're historically trade with us. He is going to reduce the tariffs that we're putting on China. In return, China is going to continue sending us the rare earth minerals that we depend on for technology, and they have agreed to intervene in the fentanyl trade. They are the main suppliers of the precursors for fentanyl. They don't send the made drugs, but they send everything you need to Central America.
Officially? Like governments, or is this drug cartel stuff?
Well, China isn't hiding. I don't know that they hide the fact that they're sending these
for fentanyl.
For fentanyl, okay. The precursors for fentanyl.
All right.
And Beijing has said that it will crack down on what they're calling, Reuters is calling, the illicit fentanyl trade. And we're going to resume soybean purchases, keeping rare earth minerals.
So we sell a lot of soybeans.
Lot of soybeans to China. Yes, right. And so that's historically, but we have been doing. So reading from Reuters, it was an amazing meeting, said Trump. He ranked it a 12 out of 10. He's never overstated anything before. That's pretty odd.
Yeah.
Trump said the tariffs on Chinese imports would be cut to 47% from 57% by halving to 10% the rate of tariffs relating to trade of fentanyl precursors. She will work very hard to stop the flow of fentanyl, a deadly synthetic opioid, and China agreed to pause export controls unveiled last month on rare earth minerals. That's the first announcement he made, and we can talk about that. But he also has said that he is going to resume nuclear, that the United States will be resuming nuclear testing, bombs. We're going to be testing bombs, which hasn't happened since 1992 in this country.
How are we going to do that? Do you know?
I don't know. Well, it'll most likely be underground testing. Nevada has been one of the sites of those for a while. I mean, before 92.
You surprised at that, Fred?
Well, President Trump, I think during this visit, there's some rattling about between, I mean, China Russia, the United States. They have nuclear weapons. And I think what President Trump was signaling in his statement on this on Air Force One is that if China wants to talk in threatening terms about their weaponry, President Trump, he made a statement on Air Force One last night on its way back to the United States and basically said, we have more, this is what he said, we have more nuclear weapons than anybody else. So if they want to go out there and puff their chest about having nuclear weapons, we'll show them. That's kind of where he was. Vladimir Putin responded to that. Okay, if you guys are going to do that, we're going to do that too.
Yeah. We're kind of going back to the Cold War. And by the way, different than the Cold War, there are now 9 nuclear-capable countries in the world. Just 9, but they're a list of, they're not all the best, they're not sending their best. The U.S., Russia, China, France, the U.K., India and Pakistan also are nuclear-capable, as well as Israel, although they've never officially admitted it, they are nuclear-capable, and North Korea. Mm-hmm. Is capable of nuclear has the nuclear bomb. So starting up a new Cold War is a risk. I'm going to be talking with Colonel Bob McGinnis, who we talk to a lot on military and national security issues about this. But
why couldn't you do that without announcing it?
Well, I think it's going to be hard to conduct a nuclear test without. Okay. Somebody knowing.
Well, that's probably
if
true.
If it's being outed by, you know, if we're doing it undercover and we're told about that, it's better to get out in front of it, I think.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Ray?
Well, it is an escalation of the tension, right? But there's already, it's not like President Trump has suddenly created this idea of saber rattling. He is just saying to the Chinese and to the Russians, if you guys are going to do this, we're going to resume testing. You got to be ready, right? You hope and pray you never have to use nuclear weapons. And perhaps, maybe, Steve, we're back to mutually assured destruction. We're going to be ready. You're going to be ready. Let's pray nobody ever pushes that button.
Yeah, that's something we never really left, though. We've been under a moratorium that has been made credible by what's called the Stockpile Stewardship and Management Program, basically using advanced supercomputing methods to assure that what we have, even though it may be aging, is still, it'll go off if we need it to. It's still active. It's still
what kind of program you got here? What's it called?
It's called the Stockpile Stewardship and Management Program. And it is stockpile.
Yeah.
Stewardship and Management Program.
I don't know. This sounds funny to me, the word stewardship with nuclear holocaust.
Kind of does, huh? Although if you want to have good stewardship of something, I think nuclear missiles would be up there at the top, I would
think.
What
does your daddy do? He works for the
stockpile.
Stockpile stewardship.
He works
company.
For the stockpile.
What does that mean? We're going to blow the world
sounds
up.
Sounds like something else. I
know.
I don't know.
Go ahead. Next story.
Next story.
So we got a trade. Main thing is we got a trade agreement that President Trump wanted. That's the main thing, it seems to me.
Yes. And that part is probably going to be beneficial to all.
So he, President Trump, reduced the tariff from 57 to 47? On what? You know the answer to that?
Let me
see. On everything that comes in from China?
I think we had with maybe some specific, I don't know, maybe auto parts or something like that. They might have had some stuff on a list that didn't qualify, but basically.
57 to 47 just sounds a little odd. you know what I'm saying?
He's the consummate deal maker, Tim.
Yeah.
You know? Look, I'm going to – like he's like the butcher and he's selling you a cut of beef. Look, I'm going to take 10% off right now because you're good. I like you guys.
Right.
You know?
All right. Next story, Steve.
All right. So we're getting the first daylight pictures of what Jamaica looks like after Hurricane Melissa tore through that country. It was a Category 5 as it hit Jamaica. It didn't slow down a whole lot. And so they have at least 36 people, at least as of now, at least 36 people have been confirmed dead. That is almost certain to go higher, much higher, because they're still digging through rubble. But entire towns kind of wiped off the face
of
the
earth. Have you seen the video footage of this?
I've seen some of it.
Unbelievable.
It is.
Catastrophic is not even a good word. It's catastrophic is less than the word that needs to be used. I don't know what that would be, but
yeah,
this hurricane hit Jamaica. You know, you think Ray and Fred and Steve, when you think Caribbean, you think that they're hurricane. They're used to this, right? Well, this was like the first major hurricane to hit in 25 years or something like that.
It's the strongest ever to hit Jamaica.
In Jamaica, yeah. And so, but I saw the video footage. So they're not, their buildings aren't up to, quote, code for hurricanes. It's like you, I've heard people who've traveled to Jamaica, and it's basically a very poor country, and then you got the resorts, right?
Yeah.
The world-famous resorts that millions of people vacation to every year or go on honeymoons to or whatever the case, Montego Bay, mm-hmm. for example. But that whole side of the country, if you were to divide it up into two, I don't know about Kingston. I looked at a video live stream of Kingston this morning. It looked pretty normal to me. But the other side of the island, where the resort, a lot of the resorts are, Montego Bay area, that was just wiped off the face of the earth.
Eastern Cuba, Haiti, at least 24 people killed in Haiti.
Yeah.
And now it's headed towards Bermuda.
I don't even know how you clean up all this stuff, Ray, because, I mean, you got to have heavy machinery and money and personnel. I know that the people themselves will do all that they can to physically pick up debris and so forth like that, but I'm talking about these structures, all these hundreds and hundreds of structures that were...
Yeah, and you think about Caribbean islands, and you think, well, it's all flat. They're not flat.
No.
It's hilly. It's
right,
mountainous.
Right.
So after an event like this, one part of the problem is, Tim, how do you get back, particularly the villages?
Right.
How do you get back to a village on a mountainside
right.
that basically has been washed
right.
away and the road has been washed out?
Right, because they had 20-plus inches of rain.
Yeah. We're already hearing from Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. Samaritan's Purse are on their way. They have the capability of bringing some of that heavy equipment there. I've been to Jamaica. I was fortunate enough to visit there on a cruise that I was on years back. But it reminded me, it's the most visceral reminder I've ever had of where I grew up in Madagascar as being a third world country. The shanties that are up, they're just... You live in what you can, and they're poor, very poor people.
Yeah.
So they can't afford foundations even, much less, windproof stuff.
So as Melissa, the hurricane we're talking about, which was a Category 5 when it hit Jamaica and then it hit Cuba and then hit Haiti, or Haiti and Cuba, whichever one hit first, is it going out to sea now?
Well, it's went through the Bahamas yesterday.
Okay.
And it's on its way to Bermuda now. They're bracing for this.
But it won't be as strong.
It's weakening as it goes north, and
because the water's cool,
it will not hit the United States.
Okay, you're listening to TI Today's Issues. Next story.
Well, you will recall last weekend we had our No Kings protest. You recall that around the country, depending on who you ask, hundreds of thousands to millions of people were out protesting the fact that they think that Donald Trump is making himself a king. I want to throw congratulations out to South Korea. South Korea has honored our president with the Grand Order of the Munggahwa. Munggahwa.
Give me that. I'm good at this kind of stuff.
Right,
what is it now again?
M-U-G.
M-U-G. Mug.
U-N-G.
Nuz.
H-W-A.
H-W-A. That would be Magna's Aha.
Okay.
It's also a dance.
Magna's Aha. Fred used to do this in high school. It was like before the twist was the Magna's Aha.
Magna's Aha.
Yeah,
right. Just love that.
Yeah.
Well, do you,
I think it's when people had three beers. He said, hey, give me another mug. So why not?
So okay. The reason I'm bringing this up is because you know what the award is? Stands for, but what they get if you get this award?
Wait, hold on. Ray, do you know?
No.
This is
no
a Korean. Idea.
In Korea.
Right.
Korea. So
right.
The President of the United States gets this award in Korea, and you're about to tell us what this entails.
It's the replica of a royal crown from Silla Kingdom, which he dutifully put on.
Oh, and then thus fulfilling the prophecy of
that's
the No Kings
right,
protesters.
No Kings. And he was having a little bit of fun with that.
And you know why he did it.
Oh, yes. Nobody's ever trolled better than Trump.
He had a good time in South Korea.
Yeah.
When he got off Air Force One, there was a band there. This is a South Korean band.
Oh, yeah.
You know what they played?
What'd they play?
YMCA.
Are you serious?
You have these soldiers with their musical instruments.
Were they doing, the letters with their arms?
No.
No.
Because they were playing their instruments.
But
that's good.
Trump was doing the dance. Oh, was he doing the dance?
We can watch that on YouTube.
You can
what
see
do we
that.
Type in? Korean YMCA dance?
You probably get it.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, I didn't believe it first. The reporter was talking about this, and then, of course, it got my attention, and I listened, and sure enough, they were playing YMCA.
Korean. I'm going to type in Korean YMCA dance and see what pops up here on Brave. Korean. All right, see if we got anything. No, I don't see anything. Oh, here we go. Viral moment. South Korean band plays YMCA for Trump. You weren't lying, Steve.
I generally don't.
No. That's just hard to believe, but that's funny. Okay, so.
And did you see, does it come with a video?
Yeah. Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here we go. He's in, I'm watching. I'm sorry, folks. I'm watching this. This happened. When did this happen? Yeah, yesterday?
In the last couple of days.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, he's in South Korea. He's meeting the president of South Korea.
They got the red carpet out. They got the band on one side.
Trump's walking along the red carpet, and they start playing the YMCA song. Okay. Anyway, all right. That's pretty interesting. So they knew how to get to Trump's heart, right?
They do. They knew exactly how. Yeah. They didn't have Lee Greenwood over there, which would have really done it. But
right. All right. Go ahead.
All right. So we are looking at several elections. I know we've been talking a lot about the New York City mayoral election coming up, but there's also...
Who's running there, Steve? What's the name of the guy running for mayor there?
Well, Eric Mamdani.
Eric? He changed his name?
No. Not Eric Mamdani.
Zoran
Mamdani.
Yeah.
We call him Eric. Zoran Mamdani, and he is running against the Curtis Sliwa, the Republican.
Don Jr., right?
Nope. Don is not there. Don.
Oh, I was going on Eric.
Eric, yes.
And I'm just playing off that.
Right.
Zoran Mamdani.
Right.
And running against one of the
former
of the
governor.
Cuomo brothers.
Former New York governor Andrew Cuomo. Not Mario, but Andrew, because I made that mistake the other day, too.
Super
Mario.
Mario.
Cool.
Andrew. So who's going to win that one, Steve?
Well, as of right now, although the margin and the polls are closing, it still looks like Mamdani is going to be taking that. Unless at the very last minute, and it better be soon so people know about it, Curtis Sliwa drops out. Then it becomes a very competitive race.
Some Republicans are actually hoping Mamdani wins.
Why would you do that?
You get what you pay for?
Because they figure his policies are so radical.
Right.
They're going to fail miserably.
Right.
You have some pretty high-profile Democrats who have endorsed him, think he's going to do wonderful things for New York.
Yeah.
And when it all falls apart, they can say, there you go, folks.
I got you.
That's what happens when you got radical socialists in charge.
There is also an election, though, going on in Virginia, a gubernatorial election. And right now the race is coming down between a Democrat named Abigail Spanberger and the current lieutenant governor, Winsome Earl Sears.
Yeah.
Now, Winsome Earl Sears is a conservative black woman.
She's a Marine vet, too.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Abigail Spanberger is as white as they come, and the NAACP has come up with
what? White as they come.
She's Caucasian.
Oh, white as they come.
Not, yes, I was not making.
Don't
it.
Go there.
Well, I wanted to help you out there, Steve. And you misspoke.
Don't go there.
Okay. White.
Okay.
She's Caucasian, but
well, you should have said Caucasian.
I should have. The reason I'm bringing this up, though, is that the NAACP has come out with their endorsement.
Who are they endorsing, Steve?
Well, the
The
National Association for the Advancement of Colored People is endorsing the white lady.
Why would they do that? How does that advance colored people?
It doesn't. I don't know. It's kind of a curious thing, isn't it?
It's just politics. What gets me is, Ray, the people on the left,
yeah,
which they want to make an issue of race when it's a Democrat person of color versus a white Republican.
Right.
Then it's a matter of, well, you're not going to vote for the Democrat because you're a racist.
Right.
And you say to them, no, I'm not voting for a Democrat because I don't agree with their policies. It doesn't matter what color they are.
Right.
Well, look at Winsome Sears. She won a statewide race as a Republican, as a black woman. But when the shoe's on the other foot, here we have a black woman, and the NAACP is endorsing the white woman. Okay? So, listen, they're doing that because they agree with the white woman, who's the Democrat's, policies.
Right, right.
Right, which is what we say, our side says, when they accuse conservatives of being racist. So,
well, we can't win with them.
I know. Just remember that in the future when they say, because you have Obama, he's coming to, former President Obama's coming to endorse and speak on her behalf.
On Spamberger's behalf, yeah.
Yeah. And
how close is the race right now?
You know, Ray, I did not look at the latest
polls.
5-6 points,
I think.
It's fairly close.
The Democrat is ahead in most polls, but, you know.
To succeed, whoever wins succeeds Governor Youngkin.
Youngkin. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're term limited.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to end with this. Can I end with this? The Times of London is taking a look at this New York mayoral race. And they decided they wanted to get the opinion of Bill de Blasio, former mayor of New York City. So they called Bill de Blasio and wanted to know what he had to say. They were a little bit shocked that Bill de Blasio said that the Democrat nominee was making dangerously optimistic assumptions about how much money the new taxes would bring in. They immediately put this on the front page, and Bill de Blasio tweeted out, wait a minute, I never granted this interview. I didn't. It's not me. I didn't say that. So went back and checked, and yes, they did interview Bill de Blasio, but they got a 59-year-old Long Island wine importer named Bill de Blasio.
No.
Yes, and they published a whole story based on their interview with him. Now, in his defense, he says, I am Bill de Blasio. I've never been not Bill de Blasio, and no one ever asked if I was the mayor or addressed me as Mr. Mayor. He thought they were doing a random sampling.
Who did the interview?
Oh, that's great.
The Times of London.
The Times of London.
They had to retract the story.
The wrong Bill de Blasio. Oh, man.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Yes. Thanks, Ray.
Thank
Appreciate
you, Jim.
It. Thanks to Fred. What do you think about the show today, Fred?
I tell you, that story, Journalism 101.
That's right.
You better know who you're talking to.
What you talking about, Willis? Adam Suddeth, our producer today, and Sandy Rios joined us, and Chris Woodward. I think that's everybody. All right, it's Thursday, meaning tomorrow is Trivia Friday, so if you want some edumacation, you need to tune in to Learning University tomorrow at this time. See you then.